Recap Journal here in the Radio Alabama studios in Sylacauga, Alabama. I'm Robert Holmes. Some of you know me as Bob, a Sylacauga native, veteran, and all-around community citizen. This morning on the Bull Gap Journal, you know, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense, and joining us is Lee Perriman. Lee, welcome.
Thank you. They don't let me on much. I don't know why. No.
Well, Lee is the president and CEO of Radio Alabama. And in fact, Lee, we're welcoming you to your studio this morning.
So nice.
That's great, man. But I'm glad you're here with us and on the air today.
Well, your show's great, and I appreciate you making time for me. I figured sooner or later you'd run out of guests and get around.
I felt like we needed to chat. So we're coming up on a very important 75th anniversary date, and we'll go into that, and I'm going to let you explain it for broadcast here in Central Alabama. And then later in the second segment, we're going to talk about Lee's leadership, and particularly in communication and broadcast and here in the community. Lee was born and raised here in Sylacauga, graduated from Sylacauga High School in the class of 75, and actually began your broadcasting career here while you were a student in high school.
Yep.
Then went on to the University of Alabama in communications and broadcast, or information sciences, actually. Then after the university, 35 years with the Associated Press, yep, ending up as a senior executive working in Washington, D.C., as a corporate executive for responsible for major investments and global modernization. I think that was some 56 countries.
Actually, it was 60 by the
60.
Time it was finished.
Okay, yeah. Good deal. And over 40,000 journalists worldwide, and you made a difference there. So you came back to Sylacauga in 2012, and among other things, purchased WYEA-AM. And that's where I think we can begin to thread this journey to the 75th anniversary that we're going to be talking about.
And that's the 75th.
Yeah. All right. So let me turn it over to you and tell us about this.
Well, on May 16th, 1948, what was originally WMLS, now WYEA, signed on the air. Four veterans had returned from World War II looking for something to do, and they decided to get into the radio business. The original studios were behind what is now Magnolia's, above something called T&J Cafe, which was raised as part of urban renewal. The four investors originally decided that only one needed to be in charge, so they sold out to Curtis Lyles, and he ran it, was my mentor, and became Sylacauga's mayor.
So four military veterans, and then in military style, decided that one person had to be in charge.
Yep.
Understand.
Gertrude Tyson, who was host of the popular Friendly Neighbor program, explained that WMLS had its beginnings as a dream in the minds of four young Sylacauga veterans. They'd all been in the service during World War II, were attending Birmingham Southern after the war. As was the case with all returning veterans, they were eager to get into something that would be profitable to them and serve their hometown. And they got up a few thousand dollars, and the dream became a reality.
Nice.
So there we are.
All righty. So now, where have you gone with Radio Alabama since then?
Well, I came back in 2012 for a visit and bought the original WMLS, now WYEA, from John Vogel, who wanted to retire. Since then, we've added and have increased to a total of 11 stations throughout East Central Alabama, but it all started with that with the WYEA. And the studios and tower and transmission facilities are still located out on Moats Road, where they've been before anything else was out there. It was on the edge of town. And we've got 7 acres, which is the tower facility there, but there are 11 more throughout Alabama where we broadcast from.
Wow. Who would have thought?
Yep.
So as you go back now to it started in 48, the initial station, then some young folks in Sylacauga started it, and then other young folks got involved like yourself. Who were some of those people?
Well, in 1959, they added an FM station, so that was a big deal at the time. But it's really interesting looking back through the files. Hundreds and hundreds of people who made it between big and almost big in broadcasting came through the Curtis Lyles University at WMLS. Doug Layton, Doug Layton, who was not only an important radio host, but the voice of the Crimson Tide for many years. Barry McAnally, also known as Joey Roberts, who was on the radio in the area for years. And there are many more. There's a long list. Well, I'll leave somebody off.
When I was a kid in high school, I remember Doug Layton. It was Layton and Charles, right?
Layton, well, and Dearman. And okay, there were four sets of hosts.
I mean, every morning I'd wake up to listen to those guys. And then Barry McAnally or Bob Barry or Joey Roberts. Barry and I were best friends in high school, so a shout out to Barry.
And Barry is still a current disc jockey voice on our WSGN.
I know that. I know. And Colleen hears him all the time and says, "Hey, that's Barry."
So, yep. But you know, but it's for me, it's not just about radio. It's about finding ways to be able to give back to the community, to inspire and motivate people to go do things, to not just to buy things, but try to create a better community and better environment for the buzz that is all about making sure we're promoting things in Sylacauga. You know, things are very easily taken for granted until you keep talking about them over and over and over and over again. And we try to make things bigger, which I think is helping the area.
I do too. And so I think an important point to make is that Radio Alabama is in fact bigger than Sylacauga, although based here and your studio is here. So you want to talk a little bit about the Radio Alabama enterprise.
But it's really interesting. You know, people look at Sylacauga and think Sylacauga is 12,000 something people. Well, within 30 miles of Sylacauga, there are 1.6 million people.
Exactly.
And not that they all would commute to Sylacauga or come to buy things here, but the point is our trade area is larger than the city limits of the city of Sylacauga. And that is the opportunity that we can help local businesses and industries be able to use to be able to make it a better area.
Right. Now, how many stations have you got out of Sylacauga as you go toward Elk City and Auburn?
Well, the goal is the 280 corridor. So between Birmingham and Auburn Opelika, also covering down to Montgomery and up toward Pell City. We have a total of 11 station signals that cover those areas. Primarily, 7 are controlled out of Sylacauga, 4 are controlled out of Auburn. But it's all... There's so much overlap that
so
it's hard to tell.
So
what
you
one
just
is
keyed on a very important point there. Radio Alabama really dominates the 280 corridor.
It does.
From Birmingham down to Auburn.
It does. And it's not a lot of people realize, because we don't promote it that way, that there are 3 radio stations serving the Sylacauga area. There are 5 or 6 radio stations serving the Auburn area, and then there are another 3 or 4 serving the Lake Martin/Montgomery Wetumpka-Prattville area. And it's a big deal.
Hey, this is really impressive when you begin to think going back to 1948, 3, 4 GIs started a radio station, and look at how it's grown.
And that original tower is still standing.
I know.
Been there for 76 years.
I see it when I head toward Talladega all the time.
And then also we moved into online. We have 13 or 14 digital products, including SylacaugaNews.com. We operate sports networks and sports channels for different schools. I was remarking to a friend the other day, during football season, we do 54 hours a week of live local high school sports programming, counting coaches' shows and pregame shows and games themselves. And that is also a big commitment to the community.
So that, I mean, 50 how many hours?
54.
54.
On average.
A week.
During football season.
That's a huge outreach to the community. So let's back up just a minute, because we touched on it as you talked about the importance and the value of the broadcasting, particularly Radio Alabama. And so that begins to me to represent a vision of what you see in terms of Radio Alabama and what it does for the community. And we've touched on points of that, but let's revisit that vision.
Well again, creating a hyper communication loop where we've got so much buzz that we can help people get excited about.
Right.
That in my mind, that creates more opportunity for Sylacauga to be bigger and better.
Sure.
And a lot of the things that we've done with commercial development and industrial development just falls right into that. And, you know, we need to create a better world for people here. It's, you know, we're in the suburbs of several markets, but we want to make sure that the Sylacauga market is also of a certain preeminence.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do with the media and the media coverage.
So as we talk about this, what just struck me is that local broadcasting, local communication, local networking of information helps knit the community together.
It does, and it's not just about being on the radio. Radio is the heart and the essence of what we do, but we create content and push it to all the platforms where people might consume it. The goal is to develop relationships with listeners on whatever device, whatever platform they may use to consume the product, from podcasts to streams to apps to devices to, right, to video, audio, text, multimedia, graphics, all those different kinds of content that can be aggregated into reaching people wherever they may consume the content is the key to what we do. It's not just about radio, right, although 80% of the people on the planet listen to radio every week.
They do.
Still today. A car is a radio on four wheels.
That's right. You're right. That's where we get a lot of information, one way or the other. So this is really striking in terms of, you know, we consume so much information, and in certain ways we've gone to where, you know, and I don't want to certainly badmouth the satellite radio stations or things like that, but it doesn't contain necessarily local content.
And you're not going to know that the tornado's coming.
And you might not know something you need to know about, you know, your family, your friends, that's going to impact you. So it's very important that I think we, you know, what you described is a multi-channel processing and flow of information to help the community better understand itself as a community.
And the thing that most people miss, too, is that in a tornado and thunderstorms and in major catastrophes, the first thing to go will be the internet and cellular phone systems. And people who are totally dependent on apps and other mobile devices will not have the ability to connect. Radio, on the other hand, we've got one tower for each station that can reach hundreds of thousands of people, and it's one to many instead of one to one, which is the importance of the traditional radio to disasters and communicating in time of emergency.
And that's important. And I'll just throw this in. You know, last year, as Colleen and I were traveling over to the coast, the Atlantic coast in South Carolina, we actually, we would lose WSGN, obviously, after we got out of the area, but we were able to go to an app and listen to WSGN all the way to Hilton Head. So it's there.
Yep.
Okay, folks, we're going to come up on a break, Lee. Lee's the president and CEO of Radio Alabama. We've been talking about Radio Alabama, the enterprise of the stations and networking of providing information to the community that Radio Alabama provides, and an important 75th anniversary for that first station. When we come back, we're going to talk to Lee about life and leadership. To this segment of the Bull Gap Journal, where we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. And we're back with Lee Perriman, the president and CEO of Radio Alabama. And in the first segment, we talked about Radio Alabama, its enterprise, if you will, here in the central part of the state, and an important 75th anniversary date for Radio Alabama's first station. Well, Lee, let's talk about leadership. You began your broadcasting career here in Sylacauga at WMLS. And we talked about that in the first segment. And then after that, you went to the University of Alabama and then began to manage several smaller market radio stations. But finally, in 1980, went to the Associated Press. And there you were a broadcast executive. And then in 1985, actually moved up to the corporate level. And eventually, in that 35-year career, were a senior corporate executive charged with actually global expansion of Associated Press's market and their technologies, broadcast technologies.
And in the early days, I got to do so many interesting things. When I started with the AP in Florida in 1980, my first job, I was involved in sales, but they always recruited people to do things that didn't necessarily have anything to do with what they did in their real careers. I covered the first space shuttle launch And I had gotten to know Commander Robert Crippen while I was a high school student because I was very involved with science in Alabama. Right. So I would visit with the astronauts before launch and covered the first shuttle launches. And my job at the first launch was to sit between George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, having them watch the launch, asking them what they thought of it. I was also known as the donut guy because I would provide the donuts in the mornings of all the launches for the first seven shuttle launches for Walter Cronkite and
no
Peter
kidding.
Jennings and others. And wow. Everybody at the Cape knew me as the donut guy and expected me to come by. But I was being self-serving because I was selling content to all of these organizations for the Associated Press.
Donuts for content.
Making sure I had good things. Yeah, but it was a very interesting career. And also through the AP career, in addition to creating technology that was used by broadcasters around the world, television, radio, and networks, I got to meet Bill Gates. I was featured in an ad with Bill Gates, quoting me and Bill Gates, in a very widely publicized media ad for some new products that Microsoft was launching. In 1996, the then CEO of Apple flew to see me in London because it was really important that I endorse something that Apple was doing so they would not lose a contract with the BBC. We became really good friends with June Lockhart, who was with on Lassie, Lost in Space, yeah. Petticoat Junction. June Lockhart, by the way, she starred in more hit series in the 1960s than any other actress. She starred in many more than others, several wow. consecutive series. But she helped me with some of my advertising campaigns where we were doing a spoof on Lost in Space. And she would regularly attend conventions and trade shows with me, and we did a lot of marketing and cross-promotion with June Lockhart. And again, because I was in the right place at the right time at the AP, Buzz Aldrin came in one day and signed my lunar module model that a NASA administrator had given to me. And Leonard Nimoy came in one day and missed me.
Said, where's Lee?
Well, but somebody in my office thought to pull out the life-size cardboard cutout of Leonard as Mr. Spock, and he signed it for me, which I still have.
Great.
And
we need to put that here in the studio.
Yep. And my big hobby is I did a lot of genealogy research. I specialize in finding people who are related to me who didn't know they were missing. But I did a lot of genealogy research for the NASA administrator, which also made him really excited because nobody ever thought that his family had any roots. They came from the Carolinas, and he was he was African American, and they thought there was no history, and I found it for him, which was very interesting. But I'm a member of more than 50 hereditary organizations, again, because I believe it's important for me to show respect and understand what my forefathers went through that allowed me to be here.
That's
sort of like an extension
point.
Of the honor thy father and mother concept.
Yeah, important point.
But inventing technology that helped change the world, even today, more than 60,000 journalists in 60 countries working in more than 50 languages use products that originally came off of my laptop.
Cool. That's great,
for storytelling.
So and in fact, then if you look at a span of 35 years with Associated Press, you in fact were a pioneer to introduce a lot of these technologies that Associated Press and journalists around the world enjoy today.
Well, and a lot of people don't understand there were no technologies when I joined the AP in 1980. I was the first person in the field who had a computer, and people thought it was really interesting that I would appear to be everywhere because I could write letters and do word processing, and there were no computers then. Well, it was the time of the Radio Shack TRS-80.
We had the Atari 800 or something like that in the 80s.
But my job at the AP was very nondescript. The Associated Press is not for profit, and I was tasked with finding ways to help create revenue. And we noticed one day that television stations, as we're analyzing all the numbers, were spending more for the software to display election results than they were paying AP for the content for the election results. And I began developing the products that allowed television and radio stations to be more efficient and also created a huge revenue stream for the not-for-profit cooperative.
So that's about creating value. And as we look at leadership and as we look at leaders in very dynamic organizations, values become very important. So as you look at this, where if now we're digging back into Lee Perriman, where do you think you got this sensitivity to create value?
Well, that was instilled by my dad, by Curtis Lyles, and also by my bosses at the AP. I mean, the fact is that we have to find ways to create a culture of hope so that people can strive to be better and make their families better and make life on the planet better. And it's just like thinking of a meeting with Elon Musk. Elon Musk, who I got to know and took to lunch, I guess, 11 years ago now, you know, his point was that space travel is a form of insurance against the annihilation of the human race.
Interesting.
And being able to travel to other planets is sort of like as he stated, an insurance policy. But the values thing is very core to me. You know, I was told at an early age that you never get a second chance to make a good first impression.
Right.
And then you peel that back and treating people fairly, creating a culture of hope, creating and opening new ways of opportunity for people are really, really, really key. And, you know, everybody has a role. Everybody has a right to think big. And thinking big is the key. If you don't think big, nothing ever happens. Problems are opportunities. You navigate through problems, you create new ways of doing things.
And
that
creates opportunity.
It creates opportunity.
Absolutely. So looking closer to home, you're a member of the Alabama Broadcasting Association. And in 2014, you were named the Broadcaster of the Year from that organization and inducted into the Alabama Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Then here in Sylacauga, you were elected to the city council in 2016 and reelected in 2020 and still there. So you take on this personal and individual leadership role wherever you are. And so now I've got to ask the question, what drives you? And I think this goes back to your values. What drives you as a leader?
Well, I enjoy asking good questions. I don't want to pretend that I know everything, but I enjoy drawing out of people things that can help me form correct opinions on things and take courses of action that are mutually beneficial. The world is a complicated place, and the embryonic world of Sylacauga, Alabama versus being stuck in a bigger city like Washington, D.C., the ability to make a difference and the ability to be able to cooperate and collaborate with people, you can get a lot more done in a Sylacauga than you can in a Washington, D.C. Washington's
right.
just too big. So being able to make a difference on the small scale that then blossoms into something that's a bigger scale is key.
I really liked what you said about, to me, good leaders know how to ask good questions, and that's so important. And today I think we see people that avoid that for whatever reason, but I'm really glad to hear you say
but
that.
But key too is leadership is action, not position.
That's right.
And that's very, very, very important.
Absolutely. I lived in a world, after three decades in the military where it was not difficult to see somebody's position because you could count the bumps on their shoulder or the bumps on their sleeve and know that somebody outranked you, and so position represented leadership. But what we learned is what you just said. True leadership is not about the position. It's about what you do as an actor to lead and provide value to people. So,
And the other key is that there has to be a certain sustainability in everything that we do. There may be a lot of really good ideas, but if they're not something that build on something that's going to continue to be able to perpetuate, then it may not really be well thought through. So we have to think things through.
So you said from early on, values from your father, values from Curtis Lyles, and then other mentors. You mentioned one other person.
Well, other managers in the AP, senior managers
in the AP. But I noticed in your bio that you were an Eagle Scout, and that speaks to me.
That was important too.
Yeah, exactly. Because I look back on things and places where I learned values, and in some ways I go back to the early years in scouting where we memorized the laws and the oath.
And the scout oath. Exactly. On my honor, I will do my best.
Yeah. Yep. And so, I those things stuck with me. You know, as sophomoric as they may sound, they stuck with me, and I really appreciate that, and I enjoyed seeing that in your bio.
It's a big deal.
So let's talk about some people. You mentioned Elon Musk, who's in the forefront. You can't miss a day in the news without Musk's name coming up.
Crazy like a fox. Yeah.
That's right. But tell me about your association, and this goes back to, I think, some of your work with the organizations in heraldry about Queen Elizabeth.
Again, I'm a member of 50 plus hereditary societies, but there's there's an organization that's still controlled by the monarch. In short terms, it's called the Order of St. John. Queen Elizabeth and now King Charles and his proxies choose members to be members of those organizations. Right. And I am an officer brother in the Order of St. John. It's of Jerusalem. It's a much longer organization right. name than that. But the patron world of the monarchy, they try to use their power and their influence to be able to create to solve problems on a global level. And the Order of St. John is focused on the Eye Hospital in Jerusalem, where oddly, in that area, a disproportionate number of children are born with corneal eye problems. And the Eye Hospital in Jerusalem is sponsored by the Order of St. John, and all the funding that right. is created for being able to help solve that problem. Great. And the Queen Elizabeth appointed me to that order and then promoted me within that order. And I'm sure she doesn't know my name, but still, I have a certificate that's hanging on the wall that's signed by the proxy of the Queen.
So as we talk about the things on the Bull Gap Journal, we talk about life, leadership, and then common sense. And to me, common sense comes from learning lessons. So if we could just quickly maybe revisit or visit what you would consider to be an important life lesson that you've learned through this 40 to 50 year adventure of yours.
You get what you give. Again, one of the last things my father said to me before he died in just a random conversation, I can't remember how it started, but he said, "Wouldn't it be nice to have enough money to be able to afford to give it all away?" And I have played with that over the years right. and realized that I'm way past the halfway mark. And, you know, when I traveled the world working for the Associated Press, as I was introduced in rooms full of people to important people that we were meeting with, everybody who was introduced said where they're from, and somebody's from Atlanta or New York or Chicago or Los Angeles or Washington. But anytime I got to say where I was from, when you'd say Sylacauga, the host would say, "Huh," and you got another 15 seconds to explain it.
So, or spell it.
Yeah. So again, I believe that I need to be able to use any power that I might perceive that I have right. to give back to Sylacauga, because Sylacauga made me what I am by making it so hard for people to pronounce and spell.
That's nice.
So that's been my goal.
I got it.
Yep.
Hey Lee, thanks for being here to tell us one about your values and your experience as a leader, but we also introduced the importance of Radio Alabama, its early beginnings 75 years ago, and you're going to be celebrating that here this year.
Yep.
And so we appreciate you being here in your studio.
It's a big deal. And, thank you.
No, thank you. Hey, thanks for joining us on the Bull Gap Journal. We talk about life, leadership, and common sense. If you like what you've seen and heard, go to radioalabama.net/bullgap and learn more.